And there is nothing like being in God's house. Just with you know, it just leads me to believe that there was a reason that he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. As a manner, and yeah, we can assemble. There's different ways we can assemble. But there is nothing like being in church with your church family worshiping. There's just nothing like it. So let me recap what we talked about this morning, and then tonight won't be nearly as lengthy unless the Lord has other plans. And then if he does, then we'll get out of the way. But Acts chapter 2, you don't have to stand again. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided or cloven tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. Let me stop here for just a second, because I didn't explain this morning. This was not figuratively speaking. This physically appeared. Okay? Sometimes, well, we just think that, you know, maybe that's what it looked like. No, this isn't figuratively speaking. This actually happened. Little cloven tongues of fire set upon each one of them. All 120. Hey, it takes a lot to get five or six in one mind and one accord. So if there was 120 of them, all in one mind and one accord, and those of you who were able to go a few years ago on the Israel trip, if there's one place that I could pick that I think I'd like to be, is I'd like to be in that upper room. Being baptized in the Jordan is one thing, but I don't know, just being in that upper room, I'm sure, was amazing. But this is not figurative. This has actually happened. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A physical manifestation of the power of God that set upon each and every single one of them. We talked about how the basis and the use of tongues is completely irrelevant if we don't have love. We have to love one another. Does that mean we just have to love those that we set aside in church? Yeah, go back to the scriptures. Well, when he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Hey, we're called to love everyone. If Jesus told us in scripture that we are to love those who do us wrong, persecute us, despitefully use us, I would hope that wouldn't be the Christian. So we're called to love everybody. So if love is not the basis of what motivates us, then any gift, not just tongues interpretation, is useless. We have to love. And the church is called to be empowered. Amen? Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love. There it is. He says, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, that tells me we can do anything and everything imaginable. But if we don't have love, Paul says, it profits me nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have to love. So, the gift of tongues is available to all who believe in all that Jesus taught. How, when, and if we receive it will be determined by the Holy Spirit who distributes God's spiritual gift. Mark 16 and 17 says this, and these signs will accompany those who believe, and in my name they will cast out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. There are many misgivings, there's many misunderstandings about the gift of tongues today, and understandably so. Many have been put off by this gift for some of these few things. Misuse and abuse of this gift from God. There is misuse. Yes. There is abuse. It has been made counterfeit. That's right. It doesn't negate the fact that there is a real. Disappointment. I knew a man several years ago that becomes so discouraged because He asked God and prayed to God to give him the gift of tongues. Some people get discouraged when they don't receive the gift of tongues. We talked about that this morning. Scripture says, do we all speak in tongues? Do we all interpret? Do we all heal? No. God gives as he sees fit. When he knows what's best. Sometimes reluctance or fear to give up control of our minds and our tongues to the Spirit. Sometimes I think that we are more afraid that we'll mess up or miss God. And that takes our eyes off of where it should be. Hey, guess what? You're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to miss God at times. You're going to miss God at times. A baby doesn't learn to walk unless he takes a few falls first. So remember that. You're not perfect. We're all walking every day as God intends for us to. As we can see from Mark 16 and 17, Jesus said, tongues will follow those who believe. Many times we're held back by fear or skepticism. Unbelief sometimes hinders that. Or simply by thinking too much. I know of some people who asked God for the gift of tongues, but did not receive it immediately. Instead, when they were alone praising and worshiping God, their tongues started to move and utter in an unknown language. They eventually received the gift of tongues when their hearts were focused on God and not when they were thinking of anything or anyone else. Receiving the gift of tongues doesn't have to happen in church. Sometimes just when you're alone, just you and God. And yeah, I'm going to tell you a story here in just a little bit that I think you'll love about that. Sometimes just in your alone time, God can give you the gift of tongues. Other times, some people receive the gift as someone else prays for them. I told you all my experience this morning. Someone was praying with me. Two people were praying with me when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Scripture backs that up by saying the Apostle Paul laid hands on those disciples in Ephesus, and when he prayed for them, they began to speak in tongues. Acts 19 and 6. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. So for some people, the gift of tongues comes naturally, while for others it may take more time. Each person has their own gifting that they're to bless others with. Remember, it's about serving others. Not yourself. It's about giving. We're called to serve. Whether it's the gift of tongues or whether it's another gift, we are to use those giftings to bless others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30. Again, I quoted this just a second ago. Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret? He says, of course not. Only God gives those. So the gift of tongues is not a sign that our Heavenly Father has given us special favor. Hey, guess what? You've not sprouted wings just because you speak in tongues.
Right. Yes.
God didn't give you something. It is special, but you're not special just because the Holy Ghost is abundant in your life. Right. Let me explain that. That's why it's called a gift. It's something that God gives when he decides to and to whom. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to that same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as who wills? God. As God wills. So God doesn't make any, just because you speak in tongues, he doesn't put that over anything else. We're not special. This is all from him. Every gift we receive from God must be treated with great care and humility. God is a Spirit, and any work of the Holy Spirit, even though it's ordinary for God, the trouble is that we as humans become so enslaved to our physical world that anything spiritual can seem superior or fascinating or even sometimes dangerous. But John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him not only in spirit, but in truth. And the truth is the word of God. We must be very careful not to idolize the gift or think that we're special just because we speak in tongues. It would grieve the Holy Spirit if we label someone more spiritual just because they speak in tongues. Hey, this is what got the Corinthians, and I said this morning, this is what got the Corinthian church in trouble. It's when they go, oh, I speak in tongues. Paul even went on to say, I speak in tongues more than you all. I'm getting ahead of myself because I got that scripture here in just a few minutes. But just because you speak in tongues does not put you on a higher spiritual level than someone who has another gift. Okay? God is a spirit. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth. It grieves the Holy Spirit if we label someone more spiritual. This is evidently not true because numerous people with the gift of tongues still struggle with pride and sin. And they do. They do. Because you speak in tongues doesn't make you sinless. Okay? We are going to sin. We are going to fall. It happens. We do. It's helpful to remember that God looks at our hearts, not at what we do outwardly. I don't mean to get off on a rabbit trail here, but when I talked about a while ago about sometimes I think we don't use that gift maybe like we should because we're afraid that we're going to miss God. Let me tell you what, when your heart's in the right place and you follow it, God's going to honor you regardless. I truly believe that. And I'll use this as an example. If I pay my tithe regardless of how I feel about where it goes, I have honored God by following his word. He knows my heart. He takes care of Chris. So when we follow our heart and God knows our heart, and if it's sincere and it's honest before him, you're not going to mess up. Okay? When we pray in tongues, do we seek to glorify God alone? Anytime someone says that they have been given a special gift from God, we should gently remind them that God doesn't treat anyone differently. Only God is special. I'm not. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for the man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Love always considers first. I know I'm going through this quickly, but I want to give some time for some questions or for some interaction here in just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 13:1, again, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, I'm nothing. Whenever possible, we should speak in a language that people know so that they can understand us. It is only when we feel pushed or nudged by the Holy Spirit to pray in tongues that we obey and do so. This, however, should be the exception rather than a rule. Listen, this is just good teaching. If an unbeliever walks into our church knowing nothing about church, and he feels conviction, and he's drawn to an altar of repentance, what he should be met with is loving people around him, knowing that they love him in a genuine prayer that he understands.
It's good.
After that point, if the Spirit pushes you and nudges you to pray differently, okay. But if a sinner walks into church, Paul said, I'd rather him say 5 words that I know than 10,000 in a language that I don't know. That's scripture. That's not me. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 18 and 19 says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you. Oh, every time I read that verse, I think, what if Paul had a little bit of arrogance? I don't know. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words with a tongue. In the 35 years that I've been a Christian, and on top of that, I was a PK. So I was drugged to revivals, camp meetings, whatever there was. I've seen numerous examples of how the gift of tongues has been used and how it's been misused. This is a problem when we as Pentecostals face opposition against people who don't believe. Number one, because they don't understand. And number two, sadly, they see things on TV that's not in line with Scripture.
Right.
They're not in a Bible-based church where this is taught. This is important. In short, the key principle can be found in the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. All things should be done decently and in order. A few years ago, we went with Michaela to a Bible college. And I'm not going to tell you where, because I'm not here to throw stones. But she was there were several colleges she was considering, and this one she was considering, and we went. They were having a service one night, and we decided to go. When we walk in, it was full of definitely young adults. I would say either graduating seniors, freshmen, sophomore, juniors in college, whatever. They were all waving their hands, speaking very loudly, all in tongues. Okay? And I'm not here to criticize or throw stones, okay? I'm not. I'm just saying, when we walked in, it was chaotic. It wasn't reverent. There was no order. Thus, that's where confusion comes in. People walk in, they don't understand what's going on. There's a reason that he said all things should be done decently and in order. Now, moving on as well, our personal time with God in our prayer life can be very, very deeply intimate with God in tongues.
Yes.
It absolutely can. The gift of tongues is something that God values. And when we use it to honor Him and speak to Him, it's a form of spiritual connection between our Heavenly Father and me. It's a personal one-on-one relationship time. And I'll be the first to tell you, there's some of my most sincere, most wonderful personal times with God is when I'm praying in tongues to Him. It is. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Ever been at a loss for how to pray? Sometimes you're just so overwhelmed with what's going on in life in 2020 that you just don't know how to pray. Sometimes you're facing things that nobody else knows about, only you and God, and you're so overwhelmed, and you just find a place to pray, and you pour your heart out to God. Let me tell you what, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. And praying in tongues sometimes is very, very deep and intimate. And we just pour our heart out to God. Romans 8, 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For even when we do not know how to pray, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We also read this morning in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, that said that we are to pray in tongues, building ourselves up in our most holy faith. There is a spiritual strengthening that comes from praying and speaking in tongues. This is a story I want to tell you all. I heard a testimony of a young man a couple weeks ago. He was from Singapore. And this is, I tell you this story just because this is another example of how tongues is used. He was from Singapore, and he was traveling through Europe. He was going through the Swiss Alps on a train, and seeing the majestic beauty of the mountains, he just began to acknowledge God. And how beautiful it was, how gorgeous, and how could anyone not understand that there was a God just by seeing all of the beauty. As the train rolled on, his praise became more intense. He quietly started to speak in tongues just as he was worshiping God. Just him and God. He wasn't trying to create a scene. He was just in worship at the beauty. He continued to speak in tongues to himself. He remained respectful to the other passengers. But just as he was doing so, he caught the attention of the stranger sitting across from him on the train. The other man's eyes grew bigger and bigger. And eventually, he stopped the man and asked him, how did he know the language of his town back home? And who was this God that he was praising so eloquently? The man was so surprised, he had to explain that he, in fact, had not known what he was saying. that he was simply praying and worshiping God, and God's Spirit took over and he began to pray in tongues. And it was God through him. This gave him the opportunity to share the gospel with this European man. And right there in the train, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. Just because of that. That is a modern day example of what happened at Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost can still happen today.
Yes.
Just because what happened at Pentecost, there was a reason that that initial experience happened. But it can also still happen in church today.
Yes.
It's important to note that it is real. God's Spirit is real. So here's what I believe. The deeper your personal relationship with God goes, the more you desire, the more you seek, and the more you want to know him. Not just the gift of tongues, but you want everything that there is about him. You desire him so earnestly that closeness, listen, the more that you read, the more that you pray, the tighter your relationship with God becomes, the more intimate that becomes. The closer that you get. It's just like just like a friend that you would have here. The more time that you spend with them, the more time you get to know them, that relationship grows. The same it is with our Heavenly Father. And him even more so. He wants us to be so close to him. I want everything God has to offer. So whatever gifts you've been given, or whatever gifts he blesses you with as you grow in your relationship with him, it's all about maturing. We all make mistakes, as I said, but we continue to mature in our walk with Christ. He may give you more gifts as you continue to grow with him. Use those gifts to edify and to serve. Even Jesus said again in Matthew 20, verse 28, that he came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. Our gifts should always serve others and ultimately glorify him or edify the church, the body of Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.